Welcome to episode one of You Vs. You, aka UVU, talking about fitness, what it takes to lose 100 pounds or any goal for that matter. But this is my story of how I did it, and you can learn from me. I did it firsthand and want to share that story with you. With me is
Alicia Morales,
and she'll be asking me questions or bouncing ideas off or clarifying in the description of what I'm about to talk to you about. So this whole thing was spawned from people asking how I lost 100 pounds and what I did, because I think that's a point in most Americans' life, let alone people around the whole planet, of saying, oh, I'm not in the shape I used to be in, whether it be prime in high school, college age, or maybe a life event like having a child or a new job has changed the trajectory of what your goals were and what your fitness used to look like. So with me, it was a moment of realizing there were no parameters on food. So I had the mindset of an athlete in college and just feasting all the time, and like, oh yeah, I can still run a mile, and that was the bar that I had set. If I can still run a mile, I'm fine. But the problem was, you know, your body's smart, so I was still able to run a mile, although it wasn't fast, at 335 pounds. All right, so there was a couple wake up calls. Like, I'd say it's the I want to say rock bottom part, but it wasn't as devastating as saying rock bottom. So there was the realization that I didn't look the same as I did when I was in my 20s, and I was just attributing it to being in my 30s. And then it was, although I am really strong physically, there's also a lot of fat. And that was something I didn't really want to look at in terms of the reality of it. And that's why I call this episode inventory. You got to take inventory first and be able to see what you're working with and then where you're going. So the number one thing was when Catalina was on the way. So I said to myself, I don't want to be a fat dad no matter what. Like, I don't want to be, you know, have issues when I'm squatting down to pick her up, or I can't run as fast as I used to, or can't keep up with her when she starts walking, let alone when she starts running, let alone when she starts riding a bike. So I said, I'm gonna get in shape. And in that moment of saying I'm gonna get in shape, I said, oh, what does it take to get in shape, and where do I want to go? Do I want to lose 30 pounds, 50 pounds, 100 pounds? And I said, oh, I want to look like how I did in college, maybe even better. But the hand that I was dealt was different than the hand that I was dealt when I was in college, right? And so that's the, okay, what's real right now? Like, what's actual reality? I don't have the energy levels as I did. I don't have the same responsibilities. You know, the parameters have gotten constricted without me even realizing it. So that was a moment to say, okay, well, if I were to run a mile, how fast could I run a mile? Uh-oh, that's way different than if I can just finish. I have 24 hours to finish, or do I have 10 minutes to finish, right? So I said, okay, well, physically, I'm strong. Cardio, I'm weak. And I could take the pressure off the joints by losing weight. All right, well, that means how can I squeeze more cardio in without changing too much? And so the secret of year one was small micro adjustments. After every time I ate food, even if it was a snack, I would try and go for a 10-minute walk. All right, so immediately, if I'm eating 3 meals a day, that's 30 minutes. If I'm eating 5 meals a day, that's 50 minutes, right? So it works out great. And you really get used to saying, oh, here's the pattern. Eat a bowl of cereal, go for a walk. Oh, eat a full meal, go for a walk. And it's nothing too strenuous, nothing too challenging. If you're in the parking lot, just walk around the parking lot of, I don't know, Islands, whatever restaurant you're at. I'm not here on behalf of Islands, and they did not give me permission to use that name. And this is not advertising, so just for the record, this is the first restaurant that came to mind. So the whole thing would be saying, all right, what's the goal? So for me, I said 100 pounds because that was what it looked like to be. I was actually a little bit lighter. I was like 225. I was between 205 and 225 for the year, my college years. And so looking at it as a 32-year-old, I was probably 31, 32, said, okay, how long realistically will this take to do? What's manageable for what's on my plate in life? Oh, I could probably do 25 pounds a year, right? So broke down the math. All right, what if I go to the gym four times a week? Four times a week is hard when it's not the thing that's enjoyable to me, the doing cardio, right? So, instead of powerlifting, I'll do circuit training, right? So I can still incorporate aspects of free weights, but then be saying, okay, let's do if I'm doing chest, it would be a chest exercise, then a back exercise, and then a leg exercise, very push-pull type of deal, right? So in the first year, there was drastic change in terms of the weight came off really fast, but I still looked the same, right? So, like, you know, pretty much for the first year, no one said anything, right? And I knew it would take about 4 years to lose 100 pounds, so it wasn't nothing surprising. What was surprising was that how the weight came off. So first it came from my legs and I was like, oh, well, this is good that I'm losing weight. But now I'm kind of, this is just different to have skinnier legs. Like, I never considered myself to have skinny legs in proportion to the rest of my body, but all right, cool. And so as I went again, the next year it came mostly from my midsection, from my gut. I'm like, oh, much better. But now I'm very top heavy. This is weird. And so I pushed, and the next year it was from everywhere else, well, but mostly my face. So my face got really defined. And then lastly, it started coming from my chest. And I was like, oh, wow. This changes my whole outlook on where fat is stored and how you can attack it. And I think it was just mostly from areas of non-use to the most use. So that would make sense that if I'm doing all this walking, my body would say, oh, we're going to get the fat from there because we need to use that as energy. Cool. I did not know that at the beginning of saying 100 pounds. If I had, I probably would have done larger circuit training and a little bit more intense with that in mind. And what I mean by that is instead of the splits being chest and back one day with a little bit of legs, or biceps and triceps with a little bit of shoulders and calves, it'd be more full body the entire time. And if there's a trouble, I don't want to say trouble area, if there's an area now that I know is the last to go, the chest is the last thing to go, I would do chest every day, and specifically circuit training with more heavy lifting to target that area, but then pace myself because it'd be, you know, 5 days a week, 4 days a week. Were you about to say something?
No.
Okay. You just wrapped.
So, yes. No, it's because when you said you did the splits.
No. Sorry. Oh, no. The workout splits. Yeah. Damn. I do not have that hip action to do that. I'd pay very good money if you'll do the splits. I want you to know. So the whole thing was the realization of saying, oh, you know, I don't want this to be a New Year's resolution that gets pushed to the back burner and then I'm back to square one, really started with saying, why am I doing it? And for me, it was bigger than myself. It was for Catalina, right? And then, yeah, there were the health benefits, of course, but then almost equal with vanity. And I don't mean it. I mean it as a tool, right? So it's nothing like pride. Oh, I have unhealthy pride. No. You want to be proud of what you look like and also be attractive, you know, to your significant other.
Right. Okay. Before we get into that, but how was the relationship with yourself.
Mm. Oh.
Because, it was all the definition and, you know, physical, right? But how was your relationship with yourself?
I didn't realize what was happening until I was pushing back. So I think I was really free form, no parameters, and fine with it until life happened. And then, how do I react now? So if someone was like, if you said, hey, let's run a marathon, I'd know I probably wouldn't be able to finish a marathon even if I attempted it. But if I knew I had a year to prepare, let alone 4 years, you better believe in 4 years I'd be able to run a marathon. That's not a goal of mine. I know some hearers who have talked about this before would say, wait, you hypocrite. You did say run a marathon. And I'd say, I've also come to realize more about myself that's not for me right now. So the whole thing would have been longevity. To be 335 in my late 20s and early 30s is going to be way different than being 335 in my 40s, in my 50s, in my 60s, right? So I can't imagine being 335 in my 60s, and that's retirement age. And going on pilgrimage to Italy with the church, and there being a lot of people who were retirement age and they couldn't hack it, I was like, oh, that'll never be me. Mm-hmm. But the only thing that was different was the age. And so, you know, when you're young, well, this is what life is like. But then it catches up to you quickly. And that's why I said, okay, I need to hunker down and get focused and stay focused, because one day I will be 40. One day I will be 50. One day I will be 60. And whatever obstacles come my way with life, if I was prepared, I wouldn't rue the day that I was like, oh yeah, no, yeah, pass another box of pizza. I never really ate a whole box of pizza unless it's, you know, Blaze, but that's not the point. The whole thing would be saying, starting to look more into the future of what life would look like if I didn't change something. And the first wake up call was, Catalina will be here in 9 months, right? Oh, okay. Here's some life stuff. Let's take care of this now. What can I manage right now? Oh, I could probably manage 25 pounds in 1 year, because now I'm focused and not just going to the gym, because I used to go to the gym all the time, right? It's going to the gym beyond sports and athleticism. It's more health and lifestyle. So that second part is, this is the hand that I was dealt. How do I play it? My strength is in lifting weights, you know, picking up heavy stuff, putting it back down, being more functional, but just naturally functional. The weak area is distance or stamina and endurance. Well, how can I adjust that now that I'm, you know, almost 300 pounds, you know, lost the first 25 pounds of, you know, floating on the border of 300 pounds. Okay, well, let's try HIIT training. And that was really effective, actually. So started doing that, and it was just a gradual progression. And then pandemic happened, right? I was like, oh no, well, gyms are closed. What do I do? Do I just go for walks? Or, like, how do I play that hand? That I had no idea that would look like that. Oh, well, there was this influencer I follow, Jeff Nippard, who's a professional natural bodybuilder out of Canada, and he came up with this game where you take the 52 card deck and you assign an exercise to the suit. So if you have spades, if you draw a card with spades, you do that amount of reps of push-ups, right? Plus 12, right? If you pull diamonds, it would be do that many squats, plus 12, right? Okay, cool. What about clubs? Oh, then you do some sit-ups, ab work. All right, plus 12. And then the hard part was with a face card, be 20. It's just out of the gate, 20, right? And then with well, I think it was with aces, yeah, you get a break. You get a 3-minute break. Right? So I think I originally it was like 2-minute break. I'm like, no, this is exhausting. And I would do that every day. Not with the full deck. It would take, forever. But I'd probably draw. I used to draw. I think I started with 10. Well, you know, I was overachiever. I started with 20. I was like, oh, this is too hard. So I went to 12 cards, between 12 and 15 cards, and would do that throughout the day. I try at the when I was on my P's and Q's, I would do it in the morning, and then I would do it after lunch. So I would get that resistance, that body weight resistance, in about twice a day, right? And that's the pivoting with circumstances changing because of lockdown, and then the gyms opened up again. I started going to the gym, kind of let the card game go to the back burner. But if you look it up, you can find it online. Jeff Nippard card game workout. But it's the principle of changing up what most people already know from PE, gym class in high school, but then saying, okay, well, we're not in high school anymore. How do you do it at home? This is just the strategy to go about it, right? So the one thing I want to go back to is that you had mentioned was saying, how did you phrase the question?
It was like relationship
yourself. To yourself. So yeah. I think that was what was a wake up call, was that I didn't monitor my inner monologue, mostly because I didn't pay any mind, right? And then the second I put up boundaries, that's when I had an inner monologue. And it was mostly right when I wake up, like, oh no. Right? Oh, or when it's time to go to the gym. Oh, you don't need, we can do it tomorrow. Tomorrow's fine. Oh no, you deserve this. Oh, take a break, right? And so I think
one slice of pizza.
What? Yeah. beer, wine, yeah. Hard liquor, and dessert. Yeah. Right. So all of those things came out the second I started to fight against myself. Before, I think in a very strange way, I was blissfully ignorant of what was going on internally, and then. I don't want to say depressed, but when they started to hear another side of this resistance, I was like, whoa, do I really talk like that to myself? Oh, well, this is the opposite end of the gamut for, I guess it's like negative, the negative monologue comes out when it's something that isn't ingrained in your habits, right? So the thing that helped slay that dragon was before I went to the gym, I would sit in my car, no matter how I felt, even when I felt great, I'd sit in my car, set the alarm clock for 2 minutes, and just talk to myself. You know, I'd close my eyes and imagine myself in an open field, because what I found really helpful was imagining if I just walked on to a rugby pitch to play 80 minutes, what would that look like? So I would imagine it was a sunny day. I have my boot bag, you know, with cleats and water and whatnot. And then I imagine myself sitting in the grass, putting on my cleats, and then knowing I'd be able to go the distance for 80 minutes, right? And so that became a moment of visualization of, oh, this is what it will feel like. This is what it'll look like. This is what I'll be like, because I've prepared for this moment for a year, for 2 years, for 3 years. And there was a moment of getting humbled was when that day came around and I played one game with Pasadena Rugby Club, right? Not only, I went 80 minutes, even though we still lost, but I remember what it was like playing rugby in high school. And it not matching up with what happened when I played the game. So the practically strangers who I walked onto the team Oh, I met a guy at the gym. He invited me. Walked onto the team. There, everyone said, "Oh wow, you did really well for your position," but only I knew what I used to be capable of. And so it was a moment where the level of pain that comes after a rugby game, it's inherent, but I hadn't felt that in years. And then was also older. I was like, I already know what my weak points are now. It's not just cardio, it's flexibility, right? So I need to be able to stretch more. Don't get me started with that. That's why I'm trying not to move under the desk at all. It's like everything cracked. The neck cracked. How did my ear crack? Right? But the moment of 4 years of visualization and then doing it, it really set the tone for being there. It wasn't just a practice. So I treated it like practice for, it's a simulation for game day. And it did work. So that's why I still do visualization no matter how I feel or even if I'm going to be playing rugby again, because it's really effective. And so just taking that time of quiet, eyes closed, 2 minutes to think of where you are, what you're doing, why you're doing it, and how you feel, that's probably the main thing that kept me going throughout the years of training on this fitness journey. So the next thing that I did was come up with the board, right? And track my progress. And so the goal, writing the goal is huge because you know what you're doing and where you're going. So you calibrated your scope to see where you're headed, right? You climbed a tree, surveyed the land, and saw, are you on course? Are you off course? Which is a huge deal. So that'd be the next thing, whether it be 100 pounds, 50 pounds, 25 pounds, or even 5 pounds, right? But then shifting it for what you're able to do in that time of life. So I said 25 pounds a year. So it was really exciting the second year, and especially the third year, to see how the scale was going down. And it's not a straight line either, right? So, you know, you mark it, you reassess the goal, then go after it, right? And that one thing that I saw that, oh man, I'm giving away a secret right now for episode 2 and 3 is, should I say it?
Change the verbiage.
So I'll try to change the verbiage a little bit. So one thing that's really helpful is to not be intense all the time. So what I found through trial and error is I can be incredibly focused for 6 weeks. That's the goal. Just 6 to 8 weeks, but then take a step back, breathe, enjoy life, but then get back into it and then say, when's the next time I'm going to be really intense for 6 to 8 weeks, right? I did not learn that lesson the easy way, and practically got burnt out and would dread not just going to the gym, but just being sore, right? And if you are going for losing 100 pounds, there's a level of intensity that's going to have to carry through where it becomes lifestyle, because it's a full overhaul of what you were doing before. And I think this is part of the reason why I wanted to do this podcast, is because when you need to lose 100 pounds, it's way different than losing 50 pounds. And then if it's more than 100 pounds, like eventually what the goal is to, if I want to be like right now, I'm weighing at 245, so I'm actually 10 pounds over my new weight of 235. But the whole thing would say it's a systemic problem. It wasn't just, oh, I like to eat. It was, oh, what food do I like to eat? No parameters. Oh, do I match it with the right amount of vegetables? No, I don't. Oh, I didn't realize that until I started seeing where the calories are coming from. What's my opinion on sweets and desserts? Oh, it's good at any time. Helen Keller said, right, life is short, eat dessert first. yeah, I didn't care, right? Have snacks any moment. Get as much sleep as you want, but you don't need to actually track how much you sleep or have a lack of sleep. Oh, it's someone's birthday. Go celebrate with them. Yeah, well, it's someone's birthday every day, and it feels like at least once a week, someone invites you to a birthday party or a birthday event or a birthday dinner.
Or a happy hour.
Or a happy...
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Don't get me started on that. So if we're going to... The worst thing in my world was not caring about calories from drinks, right? So,
but the alcohol,
the absinthe, that moment of saying, being really intense, if I'm going to be intense for 6 to 8 weeks, I severely cut back on alcohol consumption, right? And so, as much as I love going to your Bible study, Word and Wine, when it's the 6 to 8 weeks, only one glass of wine, and that might be the only time of the week that I would have have alcohol, right? So in the first episode, I don't want to get into tracking macros, because that's like really intense for someone who's on the fence about losing a large amount of weight. But the third secret, I'd say, is the second you conceive the idea to lose weight, don't say, I'm going to do all this research and I'm going to plan it out. Just say it starts right now. You started your journey the second you said, I want to. And that will direct how you do your research or applying what you've learned. I'm a huge fan of learning to fly the plane when you have it in the air, and not just, oh, you know what? I'm going to go to aviation school. In this metaphor, metaphorically speaking, I'm become a professional, because a lot of the things, a lot of the wisdom that I've gained is from making mistakes and not going at it the wise way.
Absolutely. Sorry to interrupt.
Interrupt.
But yeah, that's why the question of how was the relationship with yourself came up, because, well, it's very important that when you're going to start a goal of losing weight, well, it has to do with, okay, how am I doing with myself, you know, emotionally, right? Because all that has to also take part, because you could make a decision, oh, I'm going to start weightlifting, but you could break that chain in like a few weeks.
Yes.
That routine.
Yes. I think now it's really just being ignorant of what the inner monologue was, right? And so looking back now, I'd say there's a lot of escapism and comfort and solace in food, and you do need food to survive, but you don't need to have pizza multiple times a day, right? And have shakes with the pizza also, right? And so I think I had I treated it like a really close friend that I can guarantee would be there all the time, is being able to eat. But then it wasn't monitoring how much I ate. And
the
so
satisfaction.
As I was getting older, the weight was starting to show more and more and more. And at the point of being 335, I would compare myself to other people that I knew who were larger than me and be like, oh, well, I'm not that bad. I'm not like them. Right. I can still run a mile. Right. And those were blind spots that I didn't know I had until I said, OK, well, we're going to stop this trend of just gaining weight every year, but still being, for all intents and purposes, fit, like not injured. Let's say, put it that way. Not being injured. Wasn't being injured. Right. And so luckily, was not diagnosed pre-diabetic or had liver issues or needed surgery or was clinically depressed or any of those other things that are very real that happens to millions of people all around the globe. Mine was, oh, there's a baby on the way. This, I know without doing the math, this is not going to be able to be maintained with a child. And so that was the catalyst for the fitness journey. And in that moment, I said, oh, it starts now. I'm going to start going there with purpose. Mm-hmm. And I think the saving grace was being in the lifestyle of going to the gym, but there was no end goal. There was no purpose. It's all, I lift weights. It feels good to lift weights. It's an immediate mood booster when I lift weights. But now it's, you see how it's changed of saying why I'm going to the gym and working towards something, not just, oh, I'm here because this is what I do. That was the moment of success. Like the small changing of the trajectory and then having huge results because of it. So with each year, I saw that when I adjusted the intensity, oh, there was faster results and it's getting easier to do. And so the part of being motivated comes when you see those results. And something that I didn't realize was a lot of the fad diets or the things that people use quickly to get in shape, if that doesn't become part of your lifestyle, that's how it gets undone, and then you gain the weight back, right? So proceed with caution. I'm not a medical professional. You should definitely go see your doctor. Don't come after me or any of the things that I'm pointing out.
Do not try at home.
Yeah, do not try at home without getting some other advice. Although, the thing that I would say is that keto is very effective, but you have to realize that it's such a shock to your system that it needs to be balanced, or don't even attempt. Don't even try keto. Mm-hmm. Don't even try, right? Oh, low carb is very effective, but if maybe you come from a family or a background that is very carb heavy, well, that's going to be not just a lifestyle shock to you, but to your family and the people that you're around. So how can you go about doing it in a wise way, right? Also, I didn't realize that certain diets alter like the biome inside, to the fact where I never had allergies. Now I have allergies. I was never lactose intolerant, but now I'm lactose sensitive. So I got to be careful with how much cheese and ice cream that I have when I have cheese and ice cream, right? Else there's going to be some adverse results right there, right? But the whole thing that I'm getting at is, if you are coming from, if you take inventory on your life and realize that you need to make a change and you need to start it now, just be warned that it also comes with a cost for making that change. And one, a fad diet is good as a jump start, in my humble opinion. But beyond that, how will you adjust when you're not doing that? I'm so thankful that you asked that question about the relationship. How's my relationship to my body, to myself, to food? Because I don't think I didn't consider it a priority. It's like, oh, I'll get there one day. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, wouldn't it be great to look like how I look when I was in college? Oh, well, we're not in college anymore, so one day. And that whole one day thing was the trap that I fell into. Now,
I'll start Monday.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
I'll start Monday.
I'll start Monday. Yeah. I'm going to wait till the new year. No. Start now. Start right the second. Because it's one of those true phenomenons, mm-hmm, that is so easy to put on weight, but then it's hard to take it off. And it's actually, I think the perspective actually is a little bit, it's hard to keep it off. Like once you're focused, yeah, it starts coming off. But then to reassess, take inventory again and say, these are the cards that I'm dealt. How do I play this hand now? Is how you actually keep it off. So that's the moment of being like, okay, it's 25 pounds down. I've got 75 more to go. What can I handle this year? Oh, that worked last year. It's a little bit different now. What are the circumstances in my environment, in my life, to keep going about it? The next... Oh man, I feel like The way that my mind keeps going around the place, talking about what should I reveal, what shouldn't I reveal, is saying, if I could go back and look at what it was like on this journey to lose 100 pounds, I'd say it's like climbing, four mountains, right? So I originally would have said, it's one mountain, 100 pounds. It's like, no.
Excuse me.
The moment of a milestone is a great gauge to see how you are on the course, but that 100 pounds is the destination. The 25 pounds is mountain number one. And the next 25 pounds is mountain number two. 75 pounds down is mountain number three. Hitting that goal is reaching the peak of Everest. But along the way, it becomes more, when you reassess, you see it as, where I was before at base and then climbed the first ascent, that's separate. You see the view, it looks way different. Now keep going. So when you set it that way, at 100 pounds, the full inventory would say, what's the next challenge? Because if you're not challenged, you gain weight. And this weight gain on my end of saying, I'm 245, but I was 235. Not like, I used to be 335. No. That was a fact. But the new normal has been set at 235. And that's why I'm like, I'm 10 pounds overweight. Like, it's great when people haven't seen me in a couple of years. Like, whoa, what happened? But I see myself every day, right? I know what I'm capable of. I know what I've said. So it's fair to say I am 10 pounds overweight. But that could have been avoided if I realized after you reach the full peak and you come back down to base camp, to level, to the parking lot, well, reset a new goal and work towards that, and you can adjust the intensity of you going on it. Here's secret number five, I guess. Maybe it's four if you're counting. I'm not sure. Hopefully no one comes up to me and is like, hey, you said there were seven secrets, but you only gave three. Oh no. All right. So the whole thing would be saying if you do inventory on your friends and your family, who are your friends and family who are enabling you, right? Well, with the best intentions, someone hands you a plate of cookies. I'm looking at you, Alicia. No, you didn't hold a gun to my head. I took them and was overjoyed and definitely crushed all those cookies. But that's not the point. The point is, if you have the parameters up for cutting back and living a lifestyle of not full indulgence, but have a cookie every now and then, right? You'd be saying, which friends and family don't have that perspective and make it very hard to say no for whatever that food group is? And just have them labeled. Absolutely have them labeled. So I know for me, on the weekends, it's much easier to do fun stuff, right? And go to dinner parties and go out with friends and do all that. But during the week, I can control how I'm eating, right? So it becomes a healthy balance of still being able to enjoy the delicious things of life and not be on restriction. But it doesn't become a lifestyle of what got me to 335 pounds. So if you're looking at your friend group or people at work or people that you're close with, you can probably easily point out the people who are asking you, hey, come get a drink. It's on me. Let's eat this one thing that is not in alignment with what your restrictions are. You don't have to look far. But the part that's hard is not only just saying no, but knowing ahead of time what you're going into. So that hack would be saying, eat before you see them, or be prepared to say, I already ate, or I can't do that.
Portions.
Well, so I'm glad you said that. That does not work with me, right? So with portions, that the secret. Man, I'm giving away all these secrets. Alicia. Okay, so the meal prepping is the best way for portion control, in my estimation, because once it's gone, it's gone, and you know what you ate and you know how much you ate, right? So as much as I'd like to think that I'm a grown man who knows how to do portion control, I definitely do not. I am a 12-year-old and a 36-year-old body, and definitely need a lunchbox, right? So if I pack my own lunch, there's no room for anything else, right? And then the side bonus is you feel guilty if you don't eat it, right? But if you made it and you made it the way that you like it and it's what's within the parameters, it's absolutely guilt-free, right? So, we're coming to a close, but the thing that is big, I'd say, as a summary that I didn't mention already, is the perception of yourself, right? So when I was 335, I was walking around like I was 225, like I was still in those college years, and didn't realize how far I had gone from that. But it was just psychologically, that was the state. And there was a moment where after I'd lost 100 pounds and I put on a suit that I used to wear, like a formal attire, and was swimming in it, absolutely swimming in it, I was like, whoa, wait, how did I fit in the suit before? I remember it wasn't tight or anything, but how did I lose this much, right? And then there was another paradigm shift when I shaved my face and saw the image of the face that was more resembled what I looked like in college. I was like, whoa. And when I turned the light on in the bathroom for the next like 3 days, I was shocked when I saw that. I was like, oh, who got in here? Whoa, oh, he startled me, right? Like, whoa, how did that happen, right? And so it's a moment of the perception of yourself, the way that you see yourself is not always in line with how you actually look and how other people perceive you. So when those things come into sharper focus and you've realized it and you've accepted it, that's a good moment of setting the tone for everything else, whether it be physical activity, whether it be eating right and sticking onto it. What's that level of bounce back, right? So what I meant by the bounce back is whenever I go home, like home, when I go to Philly, when I go to the East Coast, the parameters come down, even when I cut back. But it's a moment where not only does it feel like vacation, but it's all the things that I grew up with. And so that's the thing that made me go from 235 to 245, right? And if I'm being honest with myself, it was definitely 250. And this is now slowly working back to get to 235, which is very doable. What I'm trying to convey to everyone listening is when you get to that goal, how do you maintain that goal and still live your life and still enjoy the things of life? And it comes to realizing where you're at and how you're going about it, but then what's the next goal after that? So I think that might be it for right now. But if you had any final wrap up questions for all of this,
it's great because I just, you know, just how you mentioned, if you are to see, or just how you saw yourself in the mirror, right, and you shaved and you were able to see, like, whoa, I look like, you know, how I used to look in my college years, right? So it's just. It's just you start to see a deeper relationship with yourself, and you start to see your qualities.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. So that would be episode one would be just telling you my story, how I did it, and then go deeper into the nitty gritty of how to go about it, how to attack it. Right?
It's that reboot.
That reboot, yeah, absolutely.
Because everything else starts coming along.
Absolutely.
Which will be
Episode two. This is you versus you, not you versus Alicia, not you versus Michael B. Jordan. It's you versus you. So, I'm gonna do a quick summary. So, finding your why and what's your goal, and then how are you gonna do it with the cards that you've been dealt, and those cards are not the same cards you had when you were a teenager or in your mid 20s, right? And then how do you maintain it? And that's to set another goal once you hit your goal, and then to just take stock and inventory of what's going on in your life and what you can actually control, right? There's only a couple things you can control: what you eat and how you work out, right? But that's the whole premise of episode one.
Awesome.
All right. Cool.
Great.
Well, should we try out one of these sound effects?
Sure.
Hopefully that's a good one. Oh man,
crickets.
Dang it. All right, well, we'll end on that note.